craft beer has exploded over the past decade. Breweries like Six Point Craft Ales and Brooklyn Brewery have become household names, and most bars in large cities offer a variety of national and local craft beer options. Many of these breweries were started with an extremely DIY approach. Throughout the years on Beer Sessions Radio, we were lucky enough to hear from tons of brewers about how they started their operations. On episode 7 of Beer Sessions Radio, hosts Jimmy Carboni and the late Ray Dieter talked to Shane Welsh, head brewmaster and founder of Six Point Craft Ales, about the humble beginnings of the brewery and how Shane dropped everything to pursue his passion.
I made a batch of beer, and one day my dad came to visit when I was in school, and he told me, he got mad at me later when I quit school, but he drank a bottle of beer. He goes, if you can make this, he's like, what are you doing in school? So then I actually took him seriously. So a couple months later, I dropped out. But what happened was it just kept brewing and brewing and refining the technique. And then eventually what we would do is we would have these parties. And I'm sure it's the conventional college party that everyone's familiar with. Basically, you would just buy a cup for $5 or whatever, and you would come over and you could just try among four or five different homebrews that were on tap. And this went on for years, so it allowed us to perfect and identify which flavors.
Really. Do you actually use the recipes from those days at Six Point?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, it's not fair to say that they're exact scale-ups of what those were, but they're most definitely all derivatives of those original beers.
So you've been working this for years and years and years.
Mm-hmm. And some of them are on, you know, their 500th or 600th permutation of right. the original one, so... How it all came to be, it's like the whole craft beer movement. The stars aligned and everything came together and voila.
Shane explains how a shoddy home brewing setup turned into a critically acclaimed microbrewery.
I rented a flat with three different roommates. They came home one day to find a brewery was built in the house. And it was just a contraption. And the funny thing is that it's exactly like if you could picture in your head right now what you would think a brewery that was made by a 20-year-old from parts from the local hardware store would look like. That's exactly what this thing looked like. It was held together by different fasteners and duct tape and pipe, and it was on top of this rickety old picnic table that someone put in the basement. I remember one day it needed ventilation because it was just belching out all this exhaust and it was getting condensate all over the walls. And so I went down to Ace Hardware and I just bought like HVAC ductwork and just like, you know, piped in this thing going up out through the basement window. The neighbor, I never forget, she was an older lady. She was outside doing some gardening and I fired up the brew kettle and the exhaust was pointed right at her. And so she's bending over and planting roses and stuff. And all of a sudden she gets hit with a wave of like wort, you know, wafting in there. And she's like, the next thing you know, I hear pounding at the door and I thought she was upset. She always used to call the cops on us when we'd have parties. I walk up the stairs and I open the door and I'm like, can I help you? And she goes, make sure that when you're done making that bread, you give me some. So it was pretty, we ended up having a good relationship. I would give her some bread, so to speak.
On episode 62 of Beer Sessions Radio, Steve Hindy, founder of Brooklyn Brewery, talks about how the operation started as a door-to-door sales company where employees literally had to force the beer down the public's throat before getting worldwide recognition.
You know, in the early days, we distributed our own beer, which was different than most of the other breweries around the country. We drove the truck, we delivered the beer, we collected the money. We really kind of learned the business from the ground up that way. It was tough, you know. Actually, in the beginning, I calculated the first year, it took 7 visits to sell a customer on average. So it wasn't like we walked in and said, hey, we have this beer called Brooklyn Lager, and people jumped right on it. I mean, during the week, we were out peddling beer, you know, trying to sell beer door to door, and we couldn't afford to give people credit, so it was all COD. And then on the weekends, we'd work these street fairs, usually on Saturday and Sunday. And they were great because, you know, we got a lot of people to sample the beer, but more importantly, we got paid in cash. So we started distributing our own beer, and actually after... It was like 18 months. we began to see that this could be a business. And other craft breweries, American craft breweries, actually Dock Street in Philadelphia was one of the first, who came to us and said, hey, you know, we're totally striking out with these distributors. Why don't you guys distribute our beer? And we said, well, you know, we compete against you. And they said, yeah, but, and we began to think about it and thought, well, you know, we can't really make it just selling Brooklyn Lager. Let's take on some other brands. And we did, and it was like, it was unbelievable. All of the craft breweries, American craft breweries and European craft breweries, came to us within a matter of 6 months.
Yeah, they had all.
Not all brewery stories involve home kits or sales struggles. On episode 111 of Beer Sessions Radio, Mark Burford of Blue Point Brewing in Long Island tells a funny story about the trip to Hawaii that inspired him to make beer.
Why don't you tell us about how you guys got started? Because not too long ago, there were just a few people making beer out on Long Island.
On the back of Haleakala volcano in Maui, I think is the genesis of the whole thing. And the way the story goes is I was living out there. There was a brewery on Oahu called Honolulu Brewing Company at the time. Long gone, unfortunately, to the history of craft beer. But it was a German brewery made a German export beer for the Honolulu market. And I went and visited a buddy of mine that worked at the Maui airport. He was a, kind of a gun nut kook. And so I would come over. He calls us over to visit for the weekend. We get over there. And he's got an old 72 yellow Suburban. He's got 12 shotguns in it. He's got like, you know, a quarter pound of Maui Bud. And I got five cases of Koalau and a giant tank of nitrous oxide. So he goes, I got something to do. I go, all right, I'm in. What are we doing? So we drive up the back of Haleakala Mountain. Now, if anybody's been a tourist there, maybe you rode your bicycle down the other side of it, you know. But on the back side, it's sort of rare and undone. And you go up and you can shoot wild boar and other such things. And so we get up there at 10,000 feet, and we're basically driving around shooting shotguns out and doing nitrous oxide. And, you know, at 10,000 feet, it really has a different effect on you, you know. And so we got the whole thing at the top, and I'm sitting in the front, and I got, you know, the gas mask strapped on, and I'm about to let the shotgun fly, and we're just, you know, chugging down the Koalau. And as soon as that shotgun went off at 10,000 feet, I get this sound and explosion in my head that just was ringing with the nitrous and everything. And I just said, I have to recreate that with the beer somehow. And so,
Mark,
so that was
you,
sort of the genesis of it all.
New episodes of Beer Sessions Radio air live every Tuesday at 5 p.m. on heritageradionetwork.org. You can learn more about beer and breweries by searching our archives. This piece was brought to you by greatbrewers.com, a social media marketing platform dedicated to promoting the world's great brewers and the beers they create. This piece was produced and edited by Jack Inslee for heritageradionetwork.org.